I was going to try to record a cold open with Emily, but she's not home.
Oh.
So.
How are you planning to do that?
No, like before we started our show, I was just going to do something.
Right.
And then we could lead right into the show without having to waste all of our time.
And instead...
I didn't.
So here we are.
Wasting my time and your time.
Everybody's time.
Not Emily's. Hello and welcome to episode 328 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver.
Is it... how's Vancouver, Adam? And I ask that knowing full well that you're building an ark.
Yeah, it still sucks.
Unbelievable, you're still getting the rain.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk about it too soon?
Yeah.
PTSD?
I don't want to talk about it. Yeah, it rains a lot here. Although...
sounds like it's mid-traumatic stress syndrome, though. Not even post.
Every once in a while, the sun peeks out, and that's nice. So,
well, it's been wonderful here, so I can confirm that the sun does still exist.
Right.
So, like, we've had fantastic weather over here.
Great. I'm super thrilled to hear it.
Like, to the point that you have to put the screen door on, you know, beginning of April, because there's bugs.
Right.
And, you know, you got to wear sunscreen already. You believe that?
Wow. Sunglasses?
Yeah, I wear them all, only at night, though.
Okay.
Yeah. Amazon. I bought my sunglasses on Amazon. Did you know that?
No.
No reason you should. But last year, 2 years ago, maybe. Remember when that dirty thief stole my Ray-Bans? Out of the back of the car.
I remember the story, yeah.
Yeah. So I replaced them, and I ended up buying some sunglasses on Amazon. And if you do, and I recommend that you do, click through our site. Help us out.
Okay.
And to those people who are doing it, and I know that people are doing it, because Jeff Bezos calls me every couple of weeks, gives me an update.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say thank you. Thanks for doing that and helping us out. It helps keep the show moving.
Great.
What's going on, Adam?
You already said. Oh, are we talking about photography or are we just talking about
life? Just your life first.
Easter weekend's approaching. So by the time people hear this, it will have come and gone.
Yeah.
But we're going to make the trek up to the in-law's place in Vernon. So that's exciting. So
probably no sledding, though.
Probably no sledding, although you never know.
Right.
But yeah, we're going to do that. So we're going to spend Easter in Vernon with the family. So hopefully a few photos mixed in there.
I feel like there's going to be a tractor pick.
I don't know, because we did one at Christmas, and it's kind of a yearly thing. So I will not be the instigator for that.
I know who will. Yeah. And then the complainer.
Yeah, I feel like that's a yearly pick. It hasn't been a every visit picture, so I'd say in all likelihood probably won't do a tractor picture.
Well, I'm going to get involved.
Okay, you send some emails.
Yeah, I'll stir things up a little bit.
Yeah.
See if we can't make that happen. I posted a picture there. You can see I'll put it on the website of my new furniture I spoke of last week.
Right.
Was that last week or 2 weeks ago?
I don't think it was last week. I think it was a little while ago.
But there's the new old furniture
that
my daughter loves.
What, the phone, the old phone?
Well, I've had that phone for a while. That's
the desk kind of thing.
The whole cabinet combination there.
Yeah.
She loves the whole thing. No, the phone I've had for quite some time, the phone works. Like, I can't believe the phone actually legitimately works. I plug it into the router. Like, we have voice over IP or whatever it is here.
Yeah.
And so you can plug a phone directly into your Wi-Fi router. And
yeah.
That's how the landline works. not only does the phone work, it rings. Oh, it doesn't ring. You can hear it kind of click, trying to ring. Not enough voltage to ring the bell.
Okay.
But you can tell that it's ringing. Pick it up. It works. It even dials properly, which is crazy.
Nice.
So that, but they have that, had that for a while, but it matches the new decor. But no, my daughter was thrilled when I got this because she saw the old cameras there in the glass and said, "This isn't an office anymore, Dad. We're going to open a museum and charge people money to come in here."
Mm, yeah, they'll be lining up.
Well, there's a lineup right now. But like I said, she's not home, so they're just going to have to wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who wants to see the Canonette? Right next to it, a Polaroid autograph.
It's all very...
Kodak autograph.
It's all very nice. Nice cabinets.
Yeah, well, for $30.
I can't go wrong.
Yeah, and there's two more pieces that you can't even see. So, well, you're looking at 18 euros right there.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, so pretty. And I like the way the light was hitting it. So I thought, hey, you know what? Everyone wants to see it now. That's what's going to happen.
Of course they do.
Also, went to the zoo today.
Okay.
Don't know why. I don't like the zoo.
Yeah, I'm kind of done with the zoo now. So are my kids.
Today, we were done.
Everyone's done with the zoo.
Yeah. I think the animals are also done with the zoo. They said to me, come on, what are we doing here? But it's not even the zoo. I like the animals, and I get it and all that. And I think we've talked about this before, and I don't want to debate the merits of the zoo. But it's the people at the zoo that I could do without.
Sure.
They are terrible. You're
not talking – not your children, though.
They were kind of annoying today, yes.
But other people.
Yeah, my kids are – I don't even mind other people's kids. Like, other people's kids, that's fine. If you don't have a real awareness of self yet and you're five, I'm okay with that.
Right.
What I don't understand is people who just run and they smash into you because they want to see the rhinoceros.
Of course.
Which there is. I don't think there was a rhinoceros, but let's say the elephant.
Okay.
They want to get in there and see it, so they'll push you out of the way and whatnot. And so there's a whole bunch of people who I don't think are actually smart enough to be at the zoo.
Okay.
Yet, they are. But there was one guy today in particular, and I posted this photo as well. I took his picture. I couldn't resist because I saw him about 9 or 10 times throughout the zoo tour. And so a pretty crowded day. It's holiday time over here, so there's no school this week. The whole week's off.
Wow.
Yeah, they take this like the number spring break number two, or I think, over here. But that's not the point. Point is, a lot of kids at the zoo today with their parents.
Right.
And so there's this one kid who, I don't know, I'm assuming he's 3 years old, and had his helmet on and brought his run bike.
Ooh.
Yeah, at the zoo, at the crowded zoo. And I'm talking about bringing it inside the inside buildings, too, like where the snakes and what have you, and the alligators are.
Okay.
Because they have an alligator. So the photo I posted is the dad who ended up carrying the run bike around, evidently, and then decided in the alligator section to just sit on his kid's run bike. So I wanted to know what this guy's deal was.
Did you ask him?
No, I was ready. This was at the end of the day, and I just said, we got to go. Like, I'm considering pushing this guy into the alligator pit. That's not true. I'm considering pushing his run bike into the alligator pit.
Okay.
That's going to punish the alligator. You know what? No one's getting pushed.
Okay.
But who does
that?
You're
unhappy. You're unhappy.
No, I'm more mystified than anything. At no point, like when I left the house this morning, I was like, okay, got my watch. Yep. Got my camera. Yep. Got my run bike. That didn't happen.
Right.
So I got to know what's going through this guy's head where he's like, yep, get that run bike.
I think in the their defense, in the kid's mm-hmm. defense, it's probably one of those situations where this kid is on the run bike 24/7. They want to go to the zoo. The kid's not, you said what, two or three? Three?
Sure.
Whenever they start run biking, the kid's probably going to get around the zoo, last a lot longer if they bring their run bike. Like, this mm-hmm. is the run bike kid. So I mean, I understand in certain situations, a crowded zoo is probably not an appropriate place for the run bike. I don't know, like, from this picture, how much space is the kid running into people? I certainly think that it's not something you bring into the inside pavilions, but if you're out in big areas where there's lots of path, like people are bringing strollers and whatnot.
Yes.
And if this kid is good on the run bike and not running into people, then I don't see why it would be a problem.
The pathways are clogged with strollers, which presents a problem.
Okay.
And just case in point, a couple days ago, my son got a pair of hand-me-down soccer cleats, his first ever soccer cleats.
Okay.
He wants to sleep in them. He wants to wear them, you know, in the living room. He wants to get in the. He doesn't want to take them off.
Okay.
Bathtub, doesn't matter. Like, he absolutely loves those things. We did not let him wear them to the zoo today. He tried. He tried hard, actually. He really did. He really wanted to wear them. He's so proud of them. But in the end, I talked him out of it. So, run bike guy, take a little lesson here.
It's on him, yeah.
Yeah, stop it. So, anyways, so I posted that picture.
Okay.
You can all enjoy it. The end.
Okay.
Did you shoot anything interesting besides, you know, creeping on run bike dads?
I did, actually.
Oh, good, because I did not.
I did. Oh, first, my daughter had a dance competition, so I'll bring this up because it's pretty funny how they do these things. So mm-hmm. they have the dance competition.
We hinted at that last week that it was going to happen.
Yeah, so it was this last weekend. So you go in and there's an absolutely no cameras, no video, nothing inside the studio because they want to control it, and it's not because distracting dancers, it's because they want to sell you their own photos and video that they take inside the venue.
Right.
And they're very expensive, and the vast majority of people buy them. And I want to say they do it for every number. So like if you're dancing in a group ballet number, then they're going to have a video to sell you, and they're going to have a whole set of images to sell you for that particular number. And then it goes on and on. So, you know, I think my daughter danced six numbers, like a solo, a duo, a bunch of group numbers. So for each number, if you want the video to go with the set of digital images, so there's no prints or anything, just the digital files, I want to say it's something like $70, $65.
For each section.
For each dance, yeah.
No.
Yeah. No, it's awful. And then I think if you do like three dances and three videos, they give you a slight break. I want to say it's like $150 if you do that. Like if you pick three, so you're saving $10 a number kind of thing.
Wait, what do you mean?
So say she dances. Say we decide, okay, we don't want to buy all six because that's going to be, you know, $400 or $300, right, whatever. You can get a deal. So if I pick three numbers, so her solo, her duo, and a group number, and then the images from those three, then instead of 60 times three or 65 times three, it's now 50 times three. So it's $150 three sets of images and three videos. Okay. So I think what ended up happening, I looked at the images, the best part about it was the images were not great. Like if the
can you put an online proof that you can look at?
Not that I know of. You
could, how did you see them?
Well, they have like monitors at the front, like where you come in the entry, and they're all very well set up and touch screen, and you can type in the number. Like every dance has a number in the program. You just type that number in and automatically it pops up with a little preview of the video, and then it shows you all the images, and you just kind of scroll across in full on big you know, monitors. You can go across the images. And so what I noticed, I mean, it's a pretty dark theater. They're shooting without any flash. Now the stage is pretty well lit, but it's top lit, right?
Right.
With lots of funky colors. And so the images, like at the beginning or end of a routine, when the kid's totally still, the images are sharp. Everything else is not sharp. So
really?
So every bit of movement, like their shutter speed's not fast enough, or their camera sensor isn't good enough that they can't shoot at an ISO high enough to get that shutter speed up in order to get frozen sharp images, like when they're doing jumps or moving. There's motion blur.
I'm going to go on a limb here and say they're shooting with IS or VR lenses, and thus they feel that they're covered.
I guess. And the funny part is, and this is now how well-educated my wife is when it comes to looking at images, is that I was at home. I hadn't looked at the images. My wife said, should I buy the photos from, you know, her solo? Like, this is the first time we're doing a solo. Mm-hmm. And I said, for $60 or whatever. And I said, well, what do you think? Because, I mean, the option is no images, no video, which I'm fine with, or the paid ones. There's no in between. It's not, I can't shoot this. They will not let you shoot this, right?
How much is your daughter getting paid to do this?
She's not getting paid. Yeah. This is an emotional buy that people make. But I said,
No. But listen. Okay, is this free? Is this sponsored? Can anybody just sign up and go and do it for free? No.
When they're in competitive dance, like at the beginning of the year, part of their fees for their studio time and everything is it's all sort of basically in there, right?
Okay.
So no, going to competition, because they're paying the judges like, you know, big bucks. Like these are professional judges that come in and do the judging, right?
Sure.
So, but bottom line is, like, they are flying people in to come and do the judging, and there's a panel of judges and all this stuff. So anyways, and it's a big theater, like, the obviously the company that runs the production, like, they rent out this big theater in Burnaby, and it's all very well done. But bottom line is, no, they're paying to compete. Now, my wife said to me, and this was without me ever seeing the images, she said, the images images are not sharp. And I said, really? And she said, yeah, they're really not sharp. There's some blur in some of them. And I said, okay. And then I went through them the next time I was at the theater, and you know, she was right. They weren't sharp unless the kid was totally still, sort of at a beginning or end frame. None of them were sharp across the board. And the video is fine. It's just on a tripod in the center of the theater, so you get what you get. But
so it's not even multiple angles.
Oh no! One video, one camera.
So when you drop, just to dive deep on this. So you drop the $65 for one dance, let's say.
Okay.
Do you get the video and the pictures?
I believe so. Yeah, I think you get the video and the pictures.
All right, for that price point. Yeah, you can't really go out and edit, and everyone's and you know, even do an in, even if you can't even do an in camera, like a live switch edit for $65. So I understand that it is too much for $65. You should get sharp images, though.
Yeah, and it is also, I mean, when you look at it as a business model from the company, these numbers are all less than 3 minutes long. So,
right.
And it's literally one after, they'll do in a couple hours, like whatever, do the math, whatever, 30 numbers. I mean, it's all day long from morning till late at night, like just one after another, probably doing 100 numbers a day at $60 every 3 minutes, right? Like it's crazy. And then again, like you say, not to get sharp images. So the whole thing should have sort of left a little bit of a fallacy. So I said, don't buy. My wife said, fine. And then what ended up happening, which always happens, is one parent sort of instigates and says, well, how about I really want to get the group numbers and let's just all go in. There's probably whatever, 8 girls that do their ballet, their tap and whatever, their jazz numbers together. So they say, let's just buy a set, the 3 dances, all the group numbers, and then we'll just split it amongst the 8 of us. So I think it ended up being, because they got the $150 version, I think it ended up being like just around $20 a parent for that. And basically my wife said to me, she's like, I don't really really care to do it. It's just, I can't really be the one that says, yeah, we're out. Those images aren't sharp. So,
yeah.
So for $20 to get the 3 numbers, I'm like, fine, whatever. I mean,
$20 to make sure that other parents don't hate you.
Yeah, that's basically what it was.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's because the nice thing is at the end of the year recital that they do a much better job. So they do a 3 camera setup and the video is much better. And so this was very bare bones, but at about the same price point, I think that the idea with the end of the year one is, just for our studio, is that they do 3 performances. The vast majority of people buy it. The price point is good, and so everyone, and I think the company walks away happy too, because I think they make a whole bunch of money off of it. So,
well, in defense of the people doing the video part of this, you couldn't pay me enough to do this.
Oh, I
like,
know,
I hate this. I've done not this, but kind of jobs in that vein where, and this, like, maybe I'm a snob, probably am, where they basically are taking every bit of artistic, every artistic bone in your body and just having it removed. And so your neck down doesn't mean you should be, you know, I always deliver a good product or people don't pay. That's always my deal. But so you should still deliver a good product. However, it is so mind-numbing that you're like, are we done yet? No, this is just the first of 400 performances. So, still sounds like double dipping and a little bit of a, like a bit of a shakedown.
Yeah.
So.
Anyways, I wish they just let you take your own photos. Like, I wish I could have just sat next to where they were taking photos with my Zoom lens and my 6D, and I could have done a much better job as far as getting the photos that I wanted. But then what I did do, so this is where I took it upon myself to do some photos. So they won a few categories for their group numbers. And so she had some medals from the competition. So she basically... I took Sarah down to Gary Point on Sunday after the competition. I said, well, you know, she still had her makeup and she still had her hair done up in her hairdo for the dance numbers. And she had her dance jacket and we just went down to Gary Point. It was a nice Sunday afternoon. And I took some pictures of her with her. She just took one medal. So with one little medal and got a bunch of different photos down by the water that I thought, oh, this will be great. It was nice, soft light, a little bit overcast. The sun broke through in a couple of instances. And so I haven't actually even edited the photos, but I will post those because I just know, like, again, that the light was just so good. The scenery is so nice around it. So we kind of did that instead, which I thought was a little bit
cooler.
More unique anyway. So I will post a few of those on Instagram.
Did you get her, I guess, without the sun being out, there's no real sunset. So
No, there wasn't that.
Because that would be kind of, I think she would much prefer, when the sun does show up eventually, sometime next year, that would be a thing. Like, you wouldn't have to worry about makeup, obviously. It's a silhouette. But I would shoot her silhouette down at Steveson with, you know, get her hair done up and when the outfit's on, because you'll know.
Yeah.
And just get a full shot of her, like, holding one of her dance poses. I don't know, a jeté or something.
Yeah, no, and we did actually a few dance poses that were unique to her solo, but again, I agree, it wasn't the time of day to do the silhouette, but we did exactly that, and I had the same idea, and not until the whole performances and everything's over will she be willing to wear her costume. Like, they're so...
Right.
She won't even put on the costume at home. She has like six different costumes and some of them are just amazing.
I'm wearing my baseball uniform right now.
Yeah. They're not to do that. And the girls at 9 years old like that take those instructions to heart. There is nothing I can say. I was trying to convince her to put on one of her outfits at home to take a few, like, just even white background photos, and she was not having it. She's like, not until competitions and the end of year kind of gala is over, and then I'll be able to get that photo.
No, I've seen the biography of JonBenet Ramsey. I know how it goes. You're doing a great job.
There you go.
But when you do end up doing those pics, I'm imagining like a nice wide shot, nothing else in the frame, like maybe like your daughter up on one of the big pieces of the driftwood, like the logs that came in, full shot with a big, I'll bet you can get her entire dance troupe down there, shoot all of them, and they'll pay you for that. That'll be a much better photo. That'll go on their wall, it'll be their Christmas card. That's a much better shot, I think.
I like the idea. I don't like trying to coordinate that effort. Yeah.
No. What you have to do in this is what I've learned. No, I've honestly, I've been doing that right now. I got into kind of a little tussle. Won't get into it, but basically said, "Hey, I'm done chasing people. So you're going to chase people." I said there's somebody else on the team, and I don't care if you hand me the money that needs to be collected. Somebody, pick somebody. You pick somebody to hand me the money. I don't care.
Right.
That's how it's going to go. I'm not chasing. So I would tell them, "Hey, I can't think of." What are the kids' names? Hey,
Johnny.
Madison. Hey, Madison's mom. I'm going to be down here at 7:30 on, you know, Friday. If anybody wants to be there, they should be there.
Right.
That's what you should do. Anyways, that's a little behind the scenes tip for you.
Okay.
I like it. I'm looking forward to seeing those photos if the sun ever shows.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good one. Good, I shot nothing interesting. So,
photo challenge, then.
We can go right into the photo challenge, which was colors.
Colors.
Do you want to go first or second?
I'll go first.
All right, let's have a look at yours.
There it is.
There's some colors.
We decided to do an Easter themed picture. Nothing but rain except for a tiny window on Sunday afternoon. So we decided, okay, we're going to do an Easter photo. So we called a couple of friends in because my kids were unwilling to participate. But when we called up a friend and said, hey, your girls want to come over and take a photo because Sarah loves these girls and these girls love Sarah. And we thought, okay, wear something bright and come on over. And then we gave them some bunny ears, handed them the orange carrots, and then just put them in front of a wall. And I did a two-light setup to take this photo. And Jack was unwilling to participate. At one point, he did throw on his – he has like bull pajamas. Like Sarah has the bunny you see. Jack has like a red bull. It looks like the Chicago Bull mascot.
Okay.
And he put it on, but we could not coax him into the photo. They were chanting for him and begging him to come in. He would not do it. He was busy wrestling his dog from last week's photo.
Yeah.
And was just not going to participate. So this was my colorful. I did a series. There's probably 15 photos. And they did all kinds of funny things. And Sarah held the girls, piggybacked them. They, at one point, they were carrying one of the girls across, like where two of them were holding. There's all sorts of cute ones. But I just like this. This was kind of, you know, pretty much what I was after. It was sort of an Easter photo booth. And there you go. So I added the carrots to get the color, the extra color.
Yeah, no, the colors, is nice colors in there. That's kind of what I had in mind with Easter coming. I knew there'd be a lot of colors around. Now, what's the background? What's going on here?
Just a blue wall, and I just added a bit of a gradient because I wanted to make it just a little more interesting.
What do you mean
just,
added a gradient? In post?
In Lightroom, yeah, in post. So I just added that vignette. Like that.
Oh, the vignetting,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah, so the vignetting is artificial just right. Because, I don't know, it drew a little bit more attention. The wall was just kind of plain Jane, and I just thought, ah, it's blah, and yeah. So I added that little bit of that vignetting around them.
No, it works because I like that. I like that kind of lighting effect, but that's hard to do with three people, and especially with two lights. And
yeah, I would have needed a third light in behind them or something off the
yeah,
wall.
And then your 4 minute time frame that you have.
Yeah, I had a very small window, and so yeah. I was like, yep, I'm going to cheat this one and just added the little vignette.
No, I'm sure the kids' parents were happy. They liked the photos, I'm sure.
Well, I just sent them off today, but yeah, there's some really cute ones of the girls and stuff. And like I say, Sarah and one kid, the two sisters together, there's a whole bunch of different combinations, all done in a 5 minute window. Yeah, so I just had it set up and just stand here and then try to make them laugh and do silly things.
Well, mission accomplished.
But the orange carrots really, to me, add something to it. I like just like how the color pops on the orange. Yeah.
Did you find doing like the challenge of being colors? Did you find that challenging or was it easy?
It was not going to happen outside for me. So
right.
Yeah, I mean, when you get a sunny day, the colors at this time of year are great, but I just didn't run into that opportunity. So then I started to really just think, okay, well, what am I going to do if I can't do it outside? I started just looking around the house, and I asked my wife, I asked my kids, what would be very colorful? And nobody had any of the ideas, of course. Mm-hmm. So then I started thinking Easter, Easter, Easter. And then I remembered Sarah had the bunny thing. And then she said, I'm not doing it. And then I said, okay, how do we get her to do it? And this is how we arrived there. Yeah. So it was a bit challenging. Yeah.
I found it wildly challenging because I took a few ideas that just didn't work out. So in the end, well, let's just look at my photo. It's the first one. Number one. Alan okay. Colors one.
Okay.
That's
it's the actual black and white one that's your photo.
That's what I'm going with.
That's not colors.
What's in the image?
Crayons?
Yeah.
They're black and white, though.
No, they're not. You know full well they're not. You know they're not black and white.
I think you should use the one that actually has the crayons in full color.
I only posted that because it's accidentally way better. I was being artsy. Because I struggled on this one.
Okay.
I was, because I thought, you know, okay, well, I really want to hammer something that's, like, first of all, well, like every week, it was my idea, the challenge. And so I was like, okay, I feel pressure here. I really got to nail this. And I have to, I want to do something that doesn't just say colors. I want to do something that's interesting. I actually want to make interesting photos, you know?
Okay.
Especially when they're not, you know, moments that I capture. Like, there's the interest is usually built in. That's why, you know, I shoot those moments. But so this was something that was set up, and I thought, you know, what can I do to? So we were at the zoo today, and part of my mission at the zoo was to get colors. And okay, we had an overcast day, so that was a challenge. But there's flowers everywhere. I couldn't make it interesting. I shot some flowers. I shot these large flower beds. But that's all they were, was flower beds. Wahoo. Mm-hmm. Seen that one before.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I went into the fish section. I think they call it an aquarium in Germany.
Sure.
And shot a whole bunch of different fishies. Tried to shoot Nemo. And Dora was there, too. And so I shot her, like, for real. Like, the clownfish and the whatever.
Dory. Dory is. Not Dora. Dory.
No, mine was the one. Mine's the Explorer.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it was Dory. You're right. Finding Dory. I found Dory.
Okay.
So whatever fish is called, because I remember, it doesn't matter. Who cares? That's a long story going nowhere. Shot that, and but the problem is, I brought my 85mm lens on my 5D Mark or Classic. But because they're behind glass, you need to get right up to the glass to get rid of the reflections, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means I can no longer focus because Dory wants to swim right in my face, and so it's millimeters away. Can't get focus. Even if I did get focus, it's a terrible, boring picture.
Right.
So it was boring. So I shot a bunch of colored stuff today, and it just was all lousy. And so on the way home, I'm driving, and I was thinking, like, this is what I have in mind. I'm going to do something interesting. It's going to be artsy. It's going to be black and white, but we know they're colors. So we'll use our imagination. Yeah, it's kind of terrible. It's not terrible. I think it's
not terrible. It's just nothing. It's nothing. It's not.
Maybe
it's not
carrots in there.
Maybe it's not interesting. Yeah. It's just a pile of nothing.
It's not not interesting. it's not void of. At least you look at this and go, "Oh well, I see what this pretentious douchebag is trying to do." You know, it's not like soup can. Or 19 right. Marilyn Monroe's Mr. Warhol. I mean, that is obviously high art.
Right.
Whereas this, but, you know, and I legitimately, like, the ink is still wet on this image when I uploaded it before the show. Like, I really, remember I told you I needed 10 minutes? It was to produce this. Yeah. Also to make coffee. So it didn't need the full 10 minutes for this.
Right.
But here it is, and then I went ahead and sent you the color version, which I'll post. And I didn't really process it, so the white balance is off a little bit, and you know, I just thought, oh, here, just to give you an example of here's how it was in color, because I shot raw, I shot it black and white on the in the camera, like I set all the profile settings to black and white, so on the LCD screen I would see it in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's raw, it's all the information still there, and so it comes in as color. And as soon as it came in as color into Lightroom, I thought, wow, this is actually way better. And it's still nothing. Like I thought, wow, this would just be too easy. So I guess the motto here is, don't get too complicated, man.
Mm-hmm.
Just
I
go
agree.
With the simple. If I correct this properly, it's probably a much, much better photo than the black and white version.
Agreed.
But I stand by my art, and thus I win the challenge.
Okay.
There you go.
Nice.
All right. Oh, there's more show to do.
Is there a topic?
I thought the topic was being artsy.
Okay.
No, I do have a topic, and I'm going to go. Well, I say we. I'm just going to be me, because you might not come with me. I'm going to try to go down the rabbit hole on this one.
Okay.
Something I've been thinking a lot about.
Can't wait to hear.
Time.
Oh, no.
And I'm not joking. It sounds like I'm joking. I'm not joking. What is time? Is time an arbitrary measure of something that is experienced but impossible to define?
Sure.
Or, there's an or, is it an exact scientific calculation based on the alignment of the planets and the solar system and the rotation of the Earth, et cetera?
I'm going to go with the second one.
Probably, but still, it's we've decided that one lap is going to be the year and et cetera, et cetera. And then, so a lot of it is arbitrary that we decide.
Yes.
Like daylight savings time, that's not built into the rotation of the Earth.
No,
that's something
no.
we decided.
Yeah.
But the answer to those first two, that just question, what is time, I don't actually care.
Okay.
Not now. Not right now. I mean, I care. I do care because I'm a humongous nerd. But right now, I don't care. For the purpose of what we're about to talk about, it doesn't really matter what is time, but time is important. The concept, for me, the concept of time. Did I mention I'm a huge nerd?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. No, I'm still with you.
I'm wildly fascinated by the concept of time and the perspective of it.
Okay.
For example, I would like you to think about a movie that you probably saw in the theaters when you were a kid or teenager. Probably, I'm going to guess, around 10. You're probably 10.
Okay, 10.
Did you see? No, I'm going to pick the movie because I hope you saw it in the theater.
1986.
1986, did you see Top Gun?
Of course I did.
Right, that's why I picked that.
Okay.
Okay. Did you also see it in the front row of the balcony at the Stanley Theater on Granville?
I did not.
Okay. 1-0 me. Okay. Now, that movie came out in 1986.
Okay.
31 years ago. Yet, you remember seeing it. And in terms of the technology and cinema, like there's certain parts of that movie that obviously don't hold up. But it's you watch that movie, and it doesn't look like an ancient movie.
No.
Right? So to me, that 31 years ago, that doesn't seem to be that long ago. Now go back to 1986 and imagine a movie that was 31 years old that year. You're thinking of Rebel Without a Cause starring James Dean.
Sure I am.
So the distance between Rebel Without a Cause to Top Gun and Top Gun to whatever movie is coming out now, Batman something, I'm sure.
Yeah, Batman 11.
Is the same. It's the same, yet Rebel Without a Cause seems so ancient versus how Top Gun feels.
Right.
In 1986, Rebel Without a Cause seemed ancient.
I understand your point. Yep.
I'm going to double down on this point and just to drive it home.
Okay.
At the end of this year, probably the end of December, beginning of January, whatever, but at the end of this year, the Berlin Wall will have been down longer than it was ever up.
That's, am I supposed to gasp or?
Well, I just mic dropped.
Pause for dramatic.
What do you say to that?
I say,
does that seem right? If I said that fact, would you go, oh yeah, that makes total sense.
I think you need a different example for me, because I was less aware of that as a kid. I mean, it wasn't in my day to day consciousness. So I need another.
But you
example.
Remember it coming down?
Yeah, I do.
But at the point, I mean, it's one of those things that because you and I were both born after the wall, the wall up for a good portion of our lives, like the wall just existed. It was the wall. There was always a wall.
Yeah,
there's always been two Germanies. Like what the heck, It makes total sense. However, to think that we're now almost at the balance point, that blows my mind. So as you can see, this is a rabbit hole that I can and do get lost in. How does it relate to photography?
That was my question.
Yeah, no, I wrote that down even because it's going to.
Okay.
I think. Well, the answer is in many ways. Now, I think we've talked about how the appreciation of a photograph can develop over time.
Yes.
Okay. The answer is you should have said, no, let's hear more.
No, yeah, let's.
We're going to go more.
Tell me more.
Because I'm looking over and the producer's saying, stretch it, stretch it. But to clarify, I find oftentimes that a photograph that I take is sort of quote-unquote tainted by the circumstance in which I take it.
Okay.
So that's kind of a negative way to look at it. I don't really think of it that way. But when making a photograph, we generally try to frame it in a way to include the best of everything.
Mm-hmm. That's where you take your picture of your two-year-old and you basically dangle a lollipop in front of them and say, if you smile, I'll give you the lollipop.
Well, okay, that's true. But even on a much, you know, dial it back. Let's go back to the picture that you will take of, or you did take of your daughter down at this weekend, at Gary Point. Now, you didn't, you know, you made sure there wasn't a garbage can in the background.
Yep.
Right? But probably just out of frame, there probably was.
Yep.
Okay. Now, that's kind of a small thing. You probably don't think about that all the time, but it's there in your head. Now, but yet later on, so my point is you try to include the best, in this case, your daughter, and maybe something nice background, and exclude the worst.
Mm-hmm. The people that were set up in a tent like 5 feet away from where I wanted to shoot.
Yes. Excluded them.
Yeah. That was my garbage can. Yeah.
Okay, but you're aware of that. Now, so you're aware of those people. Right now, if you look at that picture, you might not think of it right away, but it's pretty fresh in your mind.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
However, as that photo itself does not age, especially now, like within the age of digital, that thing will not age. Those ones and zeros will be ones and zeros, right?
Right.
It will be exactly, it'll look exactly the same as you're seeing it now in 10 years. Right. Your memory of the surrounding, of the surroundings, will fade.
Mm-hmm.
So you might, if pressed, you might remember that tent and have a laugh about it, but probably not. So that part will sort of fade out. And what remains is the wonderful image.
Right.
Okay?
Gotcha.
You so far you're not arguing.
I agree. No, I agree 100%. Yeah.
You should remember the general feeling of what you were doing there. Like, because I as I've said before, the picture itself, it isn't just about documenting what you see. It's about a feeling. And so, like for you, you'll remember that. Oh yeah, we went down to Gary Point after this. It should bring in 10 years. It should bring back a bunch of memories, right?
Okay, yeah.
So that is part of it. It's not just a crystal clear-cut thing. Okay, that's the point of the photo. But the garbage can in the background is forgotten.
Right.
Now let's move on to editing. So the point, there was no point there. There was no tip. There was no, especially since you didn't argue. But I strongly believe in that. Like, I strongly believe that, like, there are photos that over time I like a lot more.
Yes. You know? I agree. And I agree wholeheartedly about the sort of tainted. Sometimes your product is a great image, but you know, maybe your kid was being a complete jerk in the face of the picture, and then something happened, you know, like a person laughed and you ended up with a great image, but in the moment you walk away just unhappy because of everything else that happened before that image took place. Mm-hmm. And then, like you say, years later, you don't remember any of that stuff because you have a great photo of your 2-year-old or 3-year-old, right?
Right. And that can happen. That does happen. Not it can happen. That does happen.
Well, I think everyone, even like when you're talking about kids, that's just, I mean, how we deal with our kids all the time. Like some days they're just complete jerks, but then they're good and you pretty much forget about the you know, the 8 hours that they were jerks, and you remember the hour that they were super sweet and caring and thoughtful and all the rest, right?
Man, you're a glasses a third full kind of guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But okay, so how does that concept shift over, not to taking photos, but to editing? I'll tell you how I edit photos. Like when you culling, not editing, but culling. You go out and snap. When I take my camera somewhere and snap between 300 and 300 photos,
mm-hmm.
I like to jump on that culling process immediately.
Yeah.
You?
Yes.
Why? I have two reasons I wrote down.
My main reason is I don't want to edit 300 photos. I want to, so I know that the likelihood is that I only want to keep, let's say 10 of 300.
Sure.
So my process right away is I don't want to edit 300. So right away I'm going to go through and I'm going to pick out the 10 that I consider keepers to save myself time. So a lot of it for me is about streamlining the time that it takes to edit photos.
Okay. But now, yeah, but by doing it immediately.
Yeah.
So my number one reason for doing it immediately.
Oh, you're just talking about doing it right away versus why you do it in the.
Yeah, of course you should. You should. If you shoot 300 photos, you should keep 10. That's pretty much what you should. You should know that going in. But there's a reason I jump on it. Two reasons. One is that I remember the photo shoot. It's very clear in my mind. I remember what I like. Like as I'm snapping photos, I'm making mental notes going, yeah, I don't like that one. I know I don't like it. I don't have to put a mark on the, like, you know, on the camera or write a number down, like a file number. I know, okay, that one's good. I mean, my general process, actually, especially when it comes to video, but it applies to photos as well, is that more often than not, the last photo I take of something is the keeper. I won't keep shooting after that.
Mm-hmm.
There are exceptions to that. Where I will shoot a safety shot in anticipation of something happening, and if it happens, you know, then I'll keep the last one. If it doesn't happen, I'll keep the safety one. You know, like having your daughter at the beginning of her dance, nice and sharp, as a safety, and then she's out of focus the rest. Well, now you have one,
right?
So that last image won't be the one. But generally, once I stop, and now the same thing with actors and doing takes. Once I like it, I stop. I don't, let's try it somewhere. No, move on. So I generally, when I'm going to go edit and take all those clips, I just take the last take and cut them together. That's how I do it. So while it's very fresh in my mind, like maybe that day or the day before, I can remember everything that I liked and didn't like. I'm very familiar with every photo. Even though there's 300, I remember them. And this allows me to work quickly. I can blast through and say, okay, those ones are just gone. Forget it. Boom, 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 boom. So it cuts down my culling time significantly.
Okay.
Number two is I try very hard, especially in the last 5 years, to avoid digital bloat.
Yes. That was what I was thinking as you were saying your first point, was just having it snowball on you, get too many photos, and then it becomes such a big task to go through that you put it off and they sit there for too long.
And one session or shoot or whatever it is, one outing, then starts to blend into the next. And so, okay, maybe you aren't as familiar with every shot because you shot 300 yesterday, 250 today, now you're kind of, boy, you know, because, hey, you are getting a little older and memory kind of goes somewhat.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? So I
digital bloat.
Yeah, I say I like to avoid digital bloat. I don't. That's not true. I must. I cannot stand it. It is wildly crippling. Not only you don't want to edit them, then you never actually see the photos that you should be seeing because they're just lost in that bloat. That's a different episode.
Right.
So how does this all come back to the time shift that we talked about the photos getting better over time, or the Berlin Wall? It's down now, right? I forgot how that worked.
I think it's halfway up. I'm not going to pretend to know the answer or where you're going with this. So how about you just shoot it straight?
Am I missing something?
Are you?
If I give it some time before I cull,
right?
And I forget. Hopefully, I'll forget what I know about the surroundings, and will I see my possible discards, the stuff that was an automatic discard, editing it on day two. If I wait a year and then edit, will I see my discards differently?
Maybe.
Am I throwing away photos that I might have appreciation for years down the road?
Maybe.
Do better than that.
Yes.
No, I know, but why? Like, am I crazy? Am I willing to do it?
No.
How long? If this was the case, if I was going to wait to call,
right?
How long should I wait? How long would you wait? If you were going to do, like, maybe not all the time, maybe just for certain things, how long do you think you would have to wait before it would change your opinion on those photos?
Probably, I'm going to say at least 2 years.
All that ginkgo biloba, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, overloading on that.
I don't think it would change in 1 year. That's what I think.
I don't know. I've thought about it because I look at some pictures, like, you know, I've took a year ago in preparing this episode. I look back on some photos from a year ago, you know, and my kids are just, they've grown up a lot, you know, especially my son has hair now. So
maybe, you know, I will in a year. No, you never know. Technology's changing quickly.
Yeah, at least you can Photoshop it in.
Yeah, that's true.
So there are those differences. So, I mean, obviously that shouldn't make a difference in my photo selection, my son having hair or not. But there are certain images that I appreciate more from 5 years ago. So maybe I should keep all of my shots and then recull them 2 years later, like you said.
No, don't do that.
I don't think it's a return on investment?
No, I don't think it's a return on investment, exactly. I think that maybe there might be a couple photos that you may have kept that you otherwise are deleting now, but that the difference that it will make in your life is negligible, and it's not. You have plenty of good photos, and so I think you're going to be okay. In the words of David Spade to Chris Farley to David Spade, I think
it's going to be okay. They melt in your mouth, not your hand.
A thin candy shell.
Great. On that note, though, what about the actual post processing?
What about it?
Will you edit? Will you edit and manipulate, you know, basically finish, digitally develop a photo differently 5 years later?
Like possibly you will. Like that's a question, because I think, like anything, you know, we learn tricks or the software changes that allows us to do things that we couldn't do now. Like, I'm going to imagine 5 years that there are ways to manipulate a photo that maybe will work better than what we've got now.
Or do your tastes change?
That too. Absolutely.
I think mine have. I mean, obviously, you know, there's certain things that I don't do anymore. I mean, you know, I don't oversaturate, which I was probably guilty of early on.
Okay.
So I probably have some images that are, you know, oversaturated that I left as sort of as a time capsule to say, hey, remember when you were bad at this?
Right.
Or better at this. And so, yeah, that aside, forgetting technology, which is always going to, you know, it's always going to be updated. I think you sort of would focus on a different part of what that image means to you, like emotionally, like, oh, okay, great. I'm more interested in the look on, you know, my kid's face or whatever it is than the whole thing. So I might crop it differently.
Right.
I might crop it tighter or might leave it. Maybe I want to see more of, you know, the Christmas wrapping or whatever they're doing. So I can imagine that the cropping would be the big, big difference. But after that, you know, do you make it black and white or do you keep it in color? What do? You know, that because oftentimes, what I do is I make it, you know, if I make an image color or black and white, that's how it stays.
Yeah.
I don't go back and redo it. And so part of my workflow is at the end of each year, I export my entire library as JPEG.
Right.
So all decisions, full res JPEG, but all decisions burned in. The cropping, the colors, everything is just baked right in, and I put that into a library. And so if I go back 2 years to look at an image, I don't look at the raw image, and I mean, I still have them somewhere, but I basically view the JPEG as I did it that on that day. And so I mean, I still could go back and re-edit, go find the raw file, but I'm probably not going to. I try to live with my decisions and say, all right, that's going to work in black and white. The end. Move on.
Right.
So, where do we land?
I was going to say, what have we learned?
This is just the tip of the rabbit hole. No. Right, for me personally, like we're not going any deeper because there's a lot of stuff. You know?
Yeah, we don't want to. We don't want to dig too deep.
No, we don't. But I got to tell you, I'm intrigued at what how it would change. However, I am really unwilling to run that experiment.
And also, I mean, the other way I think you can think about this is that the decisions and the way you crop and you edit and all that, I mean, for me, it's as much about you as a photographer as it is about the subject matter. And so I don't think it's right to then be re-editing those photos in 5 years, because I want to look back and I have an appreciation, or maybe I'm critical of how I took photos 10 years ago or 5 years ago or 3 years ago. And so I kind of think that's part of the nostalgia, is not just, you know, how you view the image, but how you took the image. So mm-hmm. I don't think you should undo that. I think that's part of, you know, developing as a photographer.
I fully agree. And that's why I bake everything in, and that's the version I view. I don't like revisionist history very much.
Right,
I
mean, yeah.
Is that part of it? But I'm saying, but moving forward, you know, are you willing to see what would happen if you waited 3 months to cull something?
No, I'm not.
Me neither.
I'm not that disciplined to do it and keep up on it. And yeah, no, I'm about getting things done. That's just my personality. I can't leave things left. I mean, my worst nightmare is kind of a reno project that would just sit there for 6 months. Like, I just can't do it. If I start, I must finish. And that's just everything in life is that way for me. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit probably on the spectrum, but it makes me feel better if I get something done. So I'm not a procrastinator at all.
Neither am I, except I really am.
Wow.
I'm 100% in either direction. So like you said, once it starts, oh yeah, that momentum's going, the train is in motion. We're doing this. Sometimes you're like, do I gotta get the train moving though?
Yeah. 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 There's that too.
So, train, I'll take the bus. Come on. Speed's on TV. Remember that with the bus and the Keanu? It was good. I like it. All right. We'll do that tomorrow.
Right.
That happens. So, but more importantly, in reality, what I would like, I'd like to hear from our listeners, whoever would like to chime in, let us know how and when and how long you wait to edit. Is it on purpose? Like to cull, not the editing part, but the culling.
Right.
A, do you cull, which you should. B, mm-hmm. what do you do? Like, do you just delete? Like, do you shoot 300 raw, keep 10 of them, and then put 290 on the disc somewhere and just let it sit there and rot? Or do you delete them right away, like I do? And I think you do, too.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I delete. I edit and forget it, right? That's the deal. Yep. But and then lastly, how long do you wait before you start culling? And is it on purpose? Is it because you're procrastinating? But if you say, hey, yeah, I need 3 months, I want to hear about it.
Okay.
So there you go. That's what we want to hear from you guys. However that is, Facebook, email, post it on the Two Hosers website. All right. Monthly photo challenge for April is window light.
Mm-hmm.
I've already taken one candidate for it.
Oh, I have not.
So I'm out ahead of it. It's a black and white shot of pencil crayons.
Perfect.
Yeah. So it's going to be I'm going to win this one.
Okay.
Automatic. So hashtag that on Instagram with Two Hosers Monthly Photo Challenge, and be sure to do if you tag anything Two Hosers, hashtag Two Hosers on Instagram, we're going to see it and we're going to like it, even if it's bad.
Okay.
So go ahead and do that. Photo challenge for next week, seeing as it's Easter, why don't we just go ahead and do Easter?
Sounds good.
I could have sold it better than that.
Sure.
Easter. Hey, it's Easter. Let's do Easter, man.
Yeah.
We're lucky. But something's going to happen on Easter, right?
I hope so.
Right. All right. We'll do that. Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca. And your stuff.
Oh, you can find mine at alanatridge.com, the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find the links, the photos, the rabbit holes, everything we talked about tonight. And that's it. Or today. Maybe you're listening to this in the morning. Maybe. Talk about temporal shift, man. Blew my own mind right there. That's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.